begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facility Committee. Today, January 26, 2015, and the first order of business then this evening is: would you please take a moment and review the notes from our last meeting and make sure that they are here and ready?
I will review them, and I'm good with them.
Joe and Patrick, are good with the notes?
No, I'm sorry.
Good. Notes from last.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Okay, so then this evening's conversation is a very, very preliminary look at the 2015 and 2016 budget. I do want to comment that it's still middle of January, and this is much, much earlier than we've ever given a presentation like this to the Finance Committee. But Paul kind of did give me instructions last September. Let's start preparing the district budget. Let's get an idea in terms of where we stand. So that's where we're at today. You have two slides in your packet. One is what I call an object analysis, which is what you have right here in front of you. And by object, I mean the direct expenditures are broken down by categories: salaries, employee benefits, purchase services, supplies and materials, capital outlay, and other types of expenditures that do not fall in the categories above. We have local, state, federal sources, revenue sources, and then this next area here, other financing sources. We haven't worked out our numbers yet in terms of what will be necessary for interfund transfers. That's mostly in regards to Mike's technology plans, but also if we were to do anything more in terms of capital projects which would require us to transfer funds. And then I went on directly from our 6/30/14 audited financial statement, which you've seen previously, that has the beginning fund reserves for this year. And then we have the estimated surplus or deficit broken down by fund, and then fund balances on the very line. You'll notice that all the numbers tie out between this presentation, in other words, the object analysis, as well as the functional analysis. I did also want to mention, which I'm glad Paul kind of pushed me on this, in that it shows that there are a couple of areas, particularly O&M and transportation, I'm a little bit concerned about, because we've turned in deficits in these two funds. So when the levy comes back, you the members of the board approved the levy back in December. I have the ability, come the last week of March, to reapportion those funds between the various funds. In other words, I can move money out of the education fund into the O&M or into transportation. It doesn't change the overall levy, but it changes dollars within that levy. So what this enabled me to do is say, you know what, I better take a look at O&M and transportation just to make sure that if I need to or want to, I can reallocate funds during that reallocation period. So, and please, if you have any questions, go ahead and ask them as you feel is necessary.
On that last statement of reallocating funds, is there some statute limitation as to the percentage in which you can reallocate?
No, just so long as it doesn't exceed that bottom line of what my total levy is.
Gotcha.
And the levy is bound by CPI, new construction, EAV, and so forth.
Thank you.
So this was a great way for me to identify, hey, we have some things going on in the O&M fund that I might want to look at, as well as the transportation fund.
Bob, real quick.
Yes.
The municipal retirement piece, that shows just a, 80,000, 82,000. That not as concerned about because of the number?
Everything concerns me whenever I see a number that goes negative. It's just that, we've got about 3 months or 3 months head start on this process, so yeah. This was a good tool for me to use in terms of how we may reallocate during that last week of March. So, yes, every time I see a negative number, yes, I am concerned.
And, Bob, if I could throw one piece in, and I meant to do it a little bit earlier. So one of the reasons that we're doing this earlier is based off of our conversations last year. So you're seeing this piece here, and it goes back to just some real basic teaching, whole part whole. So we're going to show you this whole. Again, there's a lot of room within it that we have to move within it. But then what we're going to be bringing to you are those department budgets. That way you can connect back to the larger budget itself and see where the IT budget, where the teaching and learning budget fit into the larger overall landscape of our budget.
Well,
sorry,
Paul,
for that.
Paul is absolutely correct, and thank you for you told me to remember to say that, and I didn't. So, again, this is the overall budget. Basically, what we've had departments do is they are to remain relatively where they were last year. So, you know, I'll just kind of talk through the whole process then. So revenues, they're coming in a total of $52,954,000. It's broken down into local sources, which is your personal property taxes, your corporate replacement taxes, your dues and fees, and everything else that rolls in, food service, and everything else that is locally generated. That came in excess of $48.8 million. State sources, it's the general state aid, and then the categorical funding that received through the state, and then $894,000 in federal aid, which is the exact numbers that we received last year. So total revenues of $52,954,000. Then I wanted to talk a little bit about salaries. What we did is we took our Skyward system, and we have the ability to go into Skyward, and we pull up a particular function code, like 1100 is general instruction, 1600 is gifted, 1800 are ESL programs, and then we have a number of other function codes. So, like for ESL, the expected increase this year is about 2.8%. For our support staff, the salaries are about 2.7% increase. I went in and touched every one of those individual function codes and rolled them into next year's numbers. This does not include for replacements, retirements, nothing else. This is just straightforward, taking the existing numbers, going in, and then rolling them forwards per the negotiated agreements for each of the categories of employees. Then, same type of procedure. I took that with regards to employee benefits, and I rolled all the benefits associated with the different employee groups by 4%. Now, last year we came in at negative 1% on one type of employee group, one type of benefit plan. I think it was HMO, and then PPO came in about flat or whatever that number was. Mm-hmm. But overall, I've rolled at 4%. Now, later this week, we'll be attending the EBC, annual, semi-annual meeting, where we will be receiving our preliminary estimates. So later this week, we'll know, halfway through the year, we'll have some idea in terms of what those employee benefits are going to come in at. And then we have another round of final numbers that will come to us in April. So we'll work on revising this in January, February. We'll revise it again so that you see it when you see the preliminary budget in June before we take that July break and we come back in August and approve the budget. So,
Bob, just for clarification for the reporting, the EBC is our
Insurance Benefit Cooperative, and we joined that about, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 years ago now. And it's actually been a great program for us to join. It's moderated our cost increases. When I came here several years ago now, we received some 12, and I think even 1 year we got a 16% increase. Because it's all based upon your history. What is your specific group? What is it doing? How is it performing? And when you're in such a large group, instead of having 500 or 450 lives to insure, you're talking about 10 or 15 or 20,000 lives to insure. So it's been a good program for us to be in, and so that comes in at approximately $5.6 million, and that's all the employee benefits, whether it's medical, dental, insurance, whether it's your retirement funds or any type of object that's attached to a particular expenditure. Next, we have purchase services. I wanted to comment that in purchase services, I've included $500,000 in architectural professional fees, for architectural engineering, whatever type of fee that is. Typically, I was budgeting $250,000 or $300,000 per year. But as you know, last year we budgeted in excess of $1 million because of the elementary school construction project. And I don't know where we're at right now with regards to recommendations for capital projects for next year or or whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. So I have tentatively budgeted in $500,000.
Patrick? What would, outside of conversations that we're going to have tonight, you traditionally had $250,000 in there?
3-4 years ago, when we were doing just capital projects, when we did $1 million, when we did a roof a year, or we did a parking lot, and it was worth $1 million, I would budget about $250,000.
Okay. Why $500,000 this time?
Because we have not made specific recommendations to the board in terms of capital projects, and for other reasons that I think we're going to discuss later this evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we do have, in thinking about capital projects, we do have your
Aging obsolescence plan,
right, which is it has built us out as part of our long-range plan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know in the past we've used that as a little bit of a level set, and, it comes in under, but it allows Bob you to give us some heads up on things that might have turned or be a little bit more complex than you thought of a year ago.
We're out to about 2025 now. Dave has brought that up. That number here. So
I know this. First of all, thanks, because this is exactly what we're looking for in long-term planning. It's just $500,000. I'm not gonna poke at it because it's a balloon that we're
yeah. right. And we're just trying to give you the grand scope of where things may end up.
Big picture kind of stuff.
Yep. Big picture. That 50,000 foot slope. Okay. Supplies and materials. Essentially, as it was last year, capital outlay, I have included $1 million in capital outlay. Its exact use has not been determined as of right now, but will be in the next 2 to 4 to 6 weeks. And then we have other objects, which is your tuition, your debt service, and anything else that doesn't fall into categories as defined above. So what we see is you can see the either surpluses or deficits by fund across all the function codes, and we're projecting right now a $637,000 surplus. Again, this does not take any consideration retirements or wherever that may be. It's just these are the numbers as they roll out right now. So when we closed the year at 6/30, we had $24 million in fund balances. Now, I want to caution the board that $7 million of that $24 million was from the borrowing from MB as a result of our recommendations on building the elementary school additions. So that $24 million is artificially inflated by the amount that we borrowed of $7 million. Again, you see the estimated surplus or deficit and the estimated fund balances as of 6/30/15, $24,660,000. That's it. So this is the object analysis. Do you have any other questions? What you're going to see on the next slide is really, it's just a different way of looking at the same numbers.
Bob, to your point about that $24 million,
yep.
Again, because we've been working with this, I figured that in, looking at the other past budgets, but is there a way to earmark that, to asterisk it, and just to label it, to bring that forward?
We could certainly say, I could put an asterisk on that $24 million, and I could say include $7 million
exactly.
of borrowing as a result of construction.
It's certainly good for us, but it's good for the public to see that this is...
Agreed. Okay, so I will make that change.
I guess you've co-mingled dollars. You borrowed the funds, but you've paid how much since this budget will be
there.
So I don't know that the...
That's not an actual fund, but...
The asterisk that's more important is what will be exiting for the remaining contracts that have been left, as opposed to that's how we got it.
Yeah.
That money that you received was spent already, is in the process of being spent in 2014-2015 budget. So what will be remaining will be the funds that we haven't paid as of June 30th on Forest Glen and Churchill.
Right. And so we have, I've spent probably between $6 and $7 million so far on construction-related projects.
But in these projections of that $24 million, you're taking out what's remaining in 2014 and 2015 for the projects that have been, or the contracts that have been left.
Right, and the other thing to remember
is... So I don't see where the asterisk is needed.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that number is if I were to look, not knowing this, if I were to look at that fund reserve, that word reserve has a certain...
Doesn't.
Not to us, but no, I think in general.
But
I mean, I don't want to dig deep on the point, but I think the language is important.
But you said the money. That's where I'm at. I'm lost.
That's what I want to show, that there's money coming out of this. This is not a static number, because when you see it on paper, it seems larger than it is.
But the number coming out, that's what I'm saying, Erica.
Yeah.
The number coming out, I mean, you're going to be done 65% by June 30th. So there's 35% of the remaining funds are going to be stuck in that 24 million. So you're rather to 7 million, but it's not.
Well,
it's
whatever the number is,
it might be very small. But just for clarification, so we know, the asterisk should say the remaining funds on the
after construction
are 2.1 million or
no? It's about 9.2 million that we'll have. In true fund balance, with all construction.
I don't see how it's that high.
And don't forget that we've also, since July 1st, we have also done interfund transfers, taking money, the $4.3 million from the Ed Fund into the capital projects and the $2.7 from working cash. Perfect. So that hasn't been designated in here yet either.
Well, for me, Paul, this is starting July 1st, 2015.
If you're starting from there,
that's where you're starting. You're going to have 24,071 2014. And you're at 6/30/2015.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at. Well, I'm on the second page.
The numbers are the same at the bottom.
Yeah, but it depends on the date. The dates are the same.
Mm-hmm.
That number you've already paid as a 6/30/2015. The majority.
Oh yeah.
So there should be not much money coming off that 24. Am I wrong?
Well, you're going to have spent...
I'm circling out or something? Because I see us still owing on that day, if I had a draw statement.
On 6/15?
On 6, yeah, 7/1.
Or 7/1.
Of 15?
Of 15. Okay. I will owe, to complete projects, about, I'm going to throw $2.4 million out there. And that's it.
So
yeah, I think we're all saying the same thing, but we're saying it differently.
But why you're 9 million?
That's right. So when we're all done paying off the loan, there's 7 million in there, and then we paid 7 million out of our fund balance. Some of that's already been paid down, obviously.
Right.
So what Bob has done for me is to be able to break those numbers down to say, when we're all done paying, we paid we paid Jack and all the construction. We should have 9.2 in rough estimates, around the 9.2
of
things.
If you take the 24 million less the amount of construction of $14 million, you get down to around $10 million.
Right.
At the end of the following year.
I'm just saying that.
I'm totally lost.
When people see a number, it seems static. And so I think it's good to, my opinion is an external observer of budgets typically, is to define or describe what that number means. That's
okay,
all.
But it does, to me, what I just heard doesn't make sense. So I'm going to have to go through it again. Because if I have $24 million, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're claiming.
Of which we borrowed $7 million. So actually, our fund balance that we owe ourselves is $17
million. Okay. So it's $17 million. See, I look at those funds. There's $7 million that's not in there. You've already paid how much?
But that's as of today. This is a look back at what it was going to look like.
That's where I'm missing. I don't get it.
Forget it. Okay.
No, I mean, if I spent $7 million...
As of June 30th...
No, it doesn't. It's an important point.
Yeah. Okay. As of June 30th, 2014, my fund balances per our audited financial statements is $24 million.
So that's where you need the asterisk.
That's exactly right.
I think that's what Erica was saying.
Yeah, I don't actually think you need an asterisk. I think you actually need another line in there then. Because your estimated ending fund balance of 6/30/2015, we know it's not going to be $24 million.
That's correct.
So you need another line in there, not an asterisk.
some way to define those.
No, you need a line. I mean, the correct accounting would be in a line of it, not an asterisk, right? I mean, because you're spending that money, and you just haven't taken out a buff up above.
Mm-hmm. I have not.
Yeah,
you said June.
You should take it out.
Well, I wanted to show if you want another line in there, that's one thing.
For me, I mentally have it there, so I'm fine.
But
at this point, I mean, if you're going to the asterisk to me.
It's almost a long-term cash, current cash line item.
Well, that's a good. I mean, June 30th, the auditors looked at it. So this is where we're at. That's what we put in there.
Yeah. I just what I wanted to do is for you folks to be able to go and check your financial report and financial report 6/30/14 to $24,030,000. I wanted a reference point that you could that anybody could reference.
I think, and to Erica's point, from a perception perspective, somebody picking up this spreadsheet could very easily pick up, well, D41 has $24 million
of cash.
That's my point.
To write a check for $24 million. Well, we really don't.
We
don't have $24 million of asset. We don't have $24 million of cash.
Thank you.
Well, we have $24 million in cash, but $7 million of it was lent to us.
Well, asset. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Asset versus current cash.
Well, you're talking in the past.
Yeah.
You're projecting the issues. You're projecting this whole thing's about 15-16. You have 114 number in there, so that you could put to an ending balance.
Correct.
And that number is artificially inflated by the $7 million that Erica referenced. But to me, what's more important is that we were taking more out of the fund for the construction. So a lot now, I'm even more. I like mine even more because it's as false as 9.2. That there should be a line item in there of how much left after 6/30 or 7/1/2014.
That's a good point.
A significant amount of money has left the fund balance since that's for the construction.
Then you're starting to
absolutely.
Then we're starting to make a budget with an income statement, because the income statement will show you that ending balance in June 2016. The budget is showing you that point in time as of 6/30.
It's a snapshot. I understand. Mm-hmm. And not activity. I know. I'm asking for an activity line.
Yes.
I understand. But even the asterisks of saying $7 million was through MB's debt obligation funding, blah, 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 still doesn't tell me that 9.2 is leaving or is left.
Or is left.
See, yeah. $6,499,000 there? That's what's as of 6/30. That's what we had spent. Yeah. Only $500,000 of that money was put into the financial statements at that time.
Understood.
But this is
so
good.
We'll continue to make updates. This is, as I said, just a first glimpse. Mm-hmm. We'll probably bring this back again in early March when we have additional information and additional updates to provide to you. But that's the way it stands now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is an object analysis because you're looking at salaries, benefits, purchase services, and so forth. So now the next slide is really a different way of looking at the same numbers.
And I think you may have touched on it. The two big negative numbers.
The $1.2 million in O&M and the $236,000 in transportation.
Is that, why did that occur?
Sure, I'll tell you why that occurred. Because as little as 4 years ago, I was receiving in excess of $400,000 a year in regular student reimbursement from the state of Illinois. Last year I got $21,000. So what you're seeing here, that transportation. Purchase services is $1.46 million, okay? That's the amount of all the different types of transportation that we provide, regular student transportation, the homeless transportation, transportation for choice routes, and special education transportation. And when I submitted the original levy, I only put around $400,000 or $800,000 in the levy. What I will probably do is go back and reanalyze that number just to see if I should pull a little bit out of the edge fund and reapportion it possibly into O&M and transportation.
Because you thought the difference was going to be state aid.
We still got just under $400,000 in special ed transportation reimbursement, but the bottom dropped out on a regular student transportation reimbursement.
Right. From what used to be 400,000, it's now under 25,000. Okay, so Mike, let's take a look.
What's up, Dory? We're still talking salaries and benefits. Go to my next one, please. It's the same slide, isn't it? Salaries.
Is this by function we're looking for?
Early one, right?
This is the object look. I want to sit there.
There you go.
I want to look at it by function. And by function, I'm referring to instruction, support services, community services, payments to other districts, debt services, and just what we call a provision for contingencies. So if you look across the funds, the Ed Fund through the fire, and we don't levy in the fire prevention, but I put it up there because. And as you can see, revenue remains the same, the expenditures remain the same, the budgeted surplus remains the same as it was under the functional analysis. It just gives you a little bit different look in terms of what is going into just straight general instruction, what's going into support services, and so forth. Same numbers, just a little bit different way of looking at it. And then I think the charts explain it nicely here in terms of the percentages of revenues and expenditures that are going to the different categories. So are there any questions with this early yet informative presentation?
Nice.
Not to be.
Nice job.
So what are the pieces?
If you haven't noticed, this is all much, much different look than the way you've seen these numbers before. So,
Bob, what are the number? I know you just have to put in for retirement. What is our number of retirements for this year?
You know, well, this year I think it's 5. Next year it's 13 to 15. Mm-hmm. You know, we looked at this when we were in negotiations a couple of years ago. We looked at the number of people that were nobody knows exactly when someone's going to retire, but we looked at like 100 of our employees could be within 10 years of retirement. And we talked about that during the last round of negotiations, too, that information that was presented. So we do have a rather senior staff.
Question for you. Last year, there were certain detailed budgets which you did.
Yep.
So the whole department, the whole, as you said. For timing of those parts, like last year I went through, Mike helped me, Matt was me, and I went through the IT budget.
Yep.
In pretty good detail. And there's probably one or two other budgets this year which I haven't seen into that detail.
Okay.
Let you know in the next month or so, 30 days, 60 days. When
they are. We put them out about 2 weeks ago to the departments and the buildings. Essentially told to hold the line on spending. You can reapportion numbers, but you really can't ask for any more. For the buildings, we used $140 per student allocation. Hadley gets more than that because of their interscholastic type of activities and their other special programs that are available at the junior high. So for general instruction, we allocated $140 per student. And then, like I said, Hadley gets extra dollars because of it being a junior high. Those are due back to me by February 15th or just before that date,
okay,
as well as the department budgets.
And then what we'll do is bring them to you guys to, again, that whole part whole, so you can, Karen will show you hers, you'll go with Mike, and then if you need to, you can meet with them individually as well.
Yeah, because I think
that helps.
Well, what tends to happen is they don't give a broad, they have detail, but there's detail behind that detail.
Right.
That Mike helped me with
yep.
the IT, and I know there's certain areas that I'm going to ask to see the detail behind the detail.
And you know what? Dave does something like that too, because he's got...
I'm not going to ask for Dave this year.
Dave's off the hook this year? So that, that's what
because
we'll
that budget's worth $4.3 million, so I thought you would want to ask me.
Yeah, I have some other ones that I haven't seen.
We've asked him to stay flat.
Stay flat with
the student, but have we asked him to say, okay, consider a 5% cut? Just you do 140 and then just say, okay, take 5% off that rows. And what's it going
to all that?
So one of the pieces that we've talked to all administrators about are the realities that sit out there with Illinois with a new version of Senate Bill 16, whatever that may be. cost sharing, all of those potentials are out there. So I said, we have to have almost a parallel budgeting going on. So that's part of our conversations with them, looking at that. You know, for me, we gave them some rough numbers around 5%, but I also told them that throwing out just, hey, across the board 5% sometimes just doesn't make a lot of sense. But to start there into those conversations, right. So we'll have those as well.
So we've talked about sort of a parallel budget running, and Paul has asked me to build that template, and we were talking about taking $500,000 out of the budget. What does that look like? And what would that mean to every department and every building? So that's something we're working on.
That's a thought process, but if you need to, you know, $500,000 off of $52 million in revenues, not chunk change, but it's something. But if you say five, just like all organizations do, right? If we have to cut expenses by 12% this year, if we're not going to make earnings or whatever it is, you know, a 5% decrease in expenses is, you know, can we do that as a budgetary expenditures budget, and what will the impact?
What would it look like? Yeah. And remember, we have certain negotiated agreements that we're tied into.
Totally agree. So that's why I'm saying, from when you go to the schools and you say, here's $140 per student, what's it look like if you do $137?
You know, remember that 75-80% of our budget is already guaranteed to salaries and benefits. So really, that's what's the discretionary spending that's available to us?
Exactly.
You have to be talking about.
Salaries and benefits, not so
right.
much.
You can't. You can't take 5% of $52 million.
Right,
you just
right.
can't. You have to take 5% of the discretionary.
That's a good
correct.
Point.
Yeah. So what would that look like?
Right. Yep.
So that's all the kind of work that's going on behind the scenes. I wanted to bring this to you earlier in the process. Found it helpful to work through this, and we think we're on the right track right now.
Well, yeah, thanks for doing it, Bob.
Huge kudos to Bob. I mean, it looks pretty and all this stuff, but the labor behind it was crazy because when you're switching tools, it is a lot of time and a lot of energy. I'd walk down there on days, I'm like, I don't want to be in this room because it's just line after line of numbers. So huge thank
There's
you to you.
A couple thousand lines
as
of
we,
information.
As we transition from the old way of reporting to this way. So.
I think it's
going to
be three guys.
I know. Thank God.
I believe so.
All right.
I like doing it.
Yeah. For us to look forward versus the levy rates and going backwards and forth. And
I heard an adjournment.
Oh, you did?
I did. Are we at any other items?
By me.
All right.